Hi and welcome back to part two of our Delhi edition Founder Moments episode. This is Saloni and we have with us today Chirag Taneja, the co-founder of GoQuick, Anindya Datta, the co-founder of Stanza Living, Amit Lakhotia, founder of Park Plus, and Ashish Mohapatra, the co-founder of Business, in conversation with Avnish Bajaj, founder and managing director at Matrix Partners India. In today's episode, we take stock of the startup environment and the growing and burgeoning founder ecosystem in Delhi NCR. Tune in to find out more.
In the context of this kind of environment, you just said, we just talked about taking money. You said C-ball, take money. What about M&A? I think it comes up in almost every discussion. Karna chahiye, nahi karna chahiye. I know, Andy, you are Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs में मैंने बेचता था बट मेरे को पता था 90% ऑफ द टाइम चलता नहीं मोर बट आई थिंक यू हैव हैड अ वेरी कॉन्ट्रा एक्सपीरियंस एंड व्यू सो व्हाट आर द थॉट्स
वी डिफरेंट तो देखिए मुझे लगता है कि अगर आप रेवेन्यू के लिए एमएनए ले रहे हैं तो वैसे ही बर्बाद होना है एट द एंड ऑफ द डे इफ यू आर ट्राइंग टू प्रूव योर बिजनेस मॉडल बाय एक्चुअली अक्वायरिंग समबडी यू वोंट गेट एनीथिंग सो देयर हैज टू बी अ डिफरेंट स्ट्रेटेजिक रीजन फॉर व्हाई यू आर डूइंग एमएनए एंड देयर कुड बी वेरी मेनी रीजंस राइट And the second is, most of the M&A actually fail, and there's a big Goldman Sachs study which McKinsey has doubled up, saying that most of the M&As fail because of post-merger integration. Mm-hmm. So if you have to worry about integration, again it will fail. So at the end of the day, if your M&A operating model is such that it takes care of integration by itself, then you probably won't fail. Like for example, we buy our suppliers. If you buy your suppliers, they're anyway supplying to you. You're probably 30% of his business. You're already integrated to him. Probably runs on your own tech system at the end of the day.
So just abstracting that, because I think it's a very, very good point. You are saying by that definition, backward integration and forward integration is likely to succeed.
In my opinion, yes. But if you're buying your competitor, you're likely buying somebody because you want to buy his revenue, but you have saddles of problem. Mm-hmm. He's probably a different culture. Yeah. He's probably built in a very different way and stuff like that. So if you go forward or backward, And I personally think it is easier if you take it backward. Mm-hmm. Then it is forward. Then
so, सबको बताओ अपने minds और सब is that public information?
Which one?
आप जो क्या कहाँ तक
बात करेंगे? Mind में अगला अगले round के बाद लेंगे.
हाँ, पर आप minds भी बनाओगे.
No, my view is that see at the end of the day the real value lies in four places. One is the sea, one is the field, one is the mountain, and the fourth is the mind. So unless you actually own a bit of these four, I actually said it in jest to Avnish and he really liked it.
That would be a strategy. Articulated.
He's sounding like a run. He's sounding like somebody.
He's sounding like the Sheikhs of Dubai, right?
Yes, we have them as our investors.
No, but I couldn't agree more with what Ashish said. I think... buying revenue is just the wrong strategy for M&A, particularly if you're thinking that you're getting someone cheap, yeah. Then something's wrong.
You get monkeys for peanuts.
Exactly. So I think, completely agree on forward and backward integration. Maybe there are adjacencies which you want to explore, and that is something which you want to look at. Buying distribution, absolutely yes, but I don't think you should be buying another source of revenue for the same business.
You know, I think one of the most insightful things that frankly I have learned in this conversation was the point we made also about buying competition, that culture has been trained to hate you.
Yeah. Mm.
It's probably set up to hate, yeah. Right? Whereas, as a customer or a supplier, you have a symbiotic relationship. So it is more likely to succeed. I never thought of it like
that. You know, when I was in McKinsey, they used to say that the only people who make money in M&A is actually, other than the investment banker, is the consultant who heads for post-merger integration. Mm. Everybody else was.
Interesting. Okay, let's come to before we come to Delhi versus Bangalore, which is a topic we want to cover since we are in Delhi. You guys are also founders and angel investors, and I'm encouraging everybody in the Delhi ecosystem to please reach out proactively. Give some advice to budding founders. Should they take money only from experienced angel investors? Because you guys are experienced founders who are angel investors. Should they get in a VC early? Should they not get in a VC early? Should they take one VC, two VC?
One VC matrix.
Right answer. Now real answer.
I can say this, that when we look back at our fundraising strategy, the one mistake which we made, and I say this to all founders which I meet these days, is not having angels. And we thought we were keeping the cap table clean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a big, big mistake. Mm-hmm. Having angels is an absolute must, in my head, because I think they are tremendous brand ambassadors, one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you really... It's a great sounding word. I think people mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. To kind of pick
but Andy, after time, the thing you
so I'm in violent agreement, by the way. I think the people would be doing themselves a disservice by not taking money where they can get that advice.
Yeah.
And the ecosystem has just deepened like crazy in the last few years.
I mean, I think I remember, and by the way, Tarun and Gaurav both had told us that we should bring in, because we had a couple of angels who were looking at us.
Yeah.
And we said no. I think it was a big mistake. And I would recommend every founder, definitely.
Mm-hmm. We can, we offer him to take our money at angel price. We are happy to be Sansa Angels.
Good.
I offered that to Amit, which he gleefully accepted.
You took two VCs. Fortunately, he took one VC. He decided somewhere in the middle. He took two. I mean, seriously, for advice to the ecosystem, what are the thoughts?
No, I think one part is very clear that
you should have
check, and angel, I think you should pick up more from whether they can give you some time or not. Like, for example, for a lot of startups, I tell clearly, I can't give you time. I can give you money if you want, but I can't give you time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that startup should say no to me.
Mm-hmm.
Very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
The second part is around getting more VCs in. I think it depends on the size of round you are looking to raise. So if you are looking to raise, say, anywhere more than 6-7 million, type, it obviously makes sense to get two VCs in. And
what deep pocketed VCs are available?
But it is also about the stage of your company, validation, bouncing of ideas, because this is the stage where you are most vulnerable. You don't know.
Well said.
And that is what you want to bounce off, whether that will work, that will not work. And VCs, like, for example, this is for you, this is the only company. For VCs, like, they are seeing 20 different bets parallel, not only in India, but similar structure other places. Now, what is working, what is not working, what worked somewhere, what didn't work somewhere. Like, for example, you are talking about M&A. Now, I haven't seen a single M&A in my life, but you would have seen, like, say, 50 M&As. Now, it becomes easy for me because the deals will keep coming to me, small startups saying, Parkless, hai, acquire kar lo. But तो इट बिकम्स इजी फॉर मी व्हेन आई कैन ब्रेनस्टॉर्म विद मोर पीपल अराउंड कैसे देखना चाहिए कैसे करना चाहिए जर्नी सो लाइक फॉर एग्जाम्पल यू माइट बी फेयरली बिजी इन सम ऑफ योर डील्स एट सर्टेन पॉइंट ऑफ टाइम एंड एट दैट पॉइंट ऑफ टाइम इफ हैव टू टेक अ कॉल विद होम टू आई ब्रेनस्टॉर्म
वन VC प्लस अ फ्यू एंजल्स
टू ऐड टू अमित पॉइंट So we have what 25-30 angels and we've taken angels at all rounds. So Amit, by the way, told me also ki main time nahi de paunga. I told him time to dena hi padega. And I've been fortunate, by the way, a lot of people told me ki yeah, we won't be able to contribute, etc. But I can say it thumbing on the table saying people have helped me and people have given me time also.
Yeah.
So I think it also depends on the individual, what kind of ask you have.
Yeah.
If it is in his domain, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
So it also depends on that.
Well, you have to suck it out in terms of the time.
I think a couple of times and he was not there.
Yeah.
So it has happened, but it happens.
Ashish, you always have the contra view. So why only one VC?
One VC.
Matrix plus angels.
Matrix plus angels. A few angels who know you.
I agree. So let's talk about Delhi. So, you know, I was sharing this statistic with you guys offline. We were looking at our geographic mix of investments since, you know, 15 years. And I found it very surprising.
You mean matrix or VC ecosystem as well?
It's very similar. It's very similar. Some VCs have some skew, but I would say it's largely similar. Delhi NCR has stayed between 25 to 35%. Somewhere around 11, 12 went down a little bit, but it's, I would say call it 30% steady. Bangalore, now again, we were maybe a little bit less tech earlier, but Bangalore has gone from like early 20s to 40 to 45 and now steady. Mumbai has gone down from 25-30 to now steady at about 15-20 because of fintech, media. But net-net, Delhi has actually been the most steady VC ecosystem in the country, but I think underappreciated or underrecognized. So how do we change it?
Markets recognize it.
Why do you say it?
Whether it is Zomato, whether it is now Paytm, MobiQuick, Ixigo, MakeMyTrip, Naukri. Is there something in Bangalore like this?
Delhi has a massive natural advantage over Bangalore when it comes to creating any kind of, I would say, institutions.
Why? Everybody keeps asking, won't you ask when, maybe we didn't ask, but people would be asking, when are you opening a Bangalore office? When you start?
It's a answer. Geography or history? So Delhi, if you look at it, the nearest metro to Delhi is probably Bombay or Calcutta, which is 1500 kilometers away.
Mm.
The closest cities to Delhi are Jaipur, Chandigarh, Lucknow, Ludhiana.
250
kilometers away, with the exception of Lucknow, which is 550-600 kilometers. But all four of cities are essentially tier 2. Take Bangalore, for example. Bangalore to Chennai, under 500. Bangalore to Hyderabad, under 500. Bangalore to Mumbai, under 1000. So Bangalore actually is surrounded by at least three metros, whereas Delhi, the nearest metro is 1500 kilometers away. So Delhi fundamentally drains a lot more of trade and consumption.
Mm-hmm.
So hence you will see a lot more transaction-led businesses coming up in Delhi. You will see a lot more commerce-led businesses coming up in Delhi. Yeah, Delhi. History ka isme Delhi ka sabse pass wala metro is actually in Pakistan. आप देखिए लाहौर इज अंडर 500 किलोमीटर्स आप फैसलाबाद देखिए फैसलाबाद इज अंडर 500 किलोमीटर्स यू सी मुल्तान अंडर 500 किलोमीटर्स सो एक्चुअली द सिटीज दैट आर नियरर टू दिल्ली बिकॉज ऑफ ज्योग्राफी आर ऑन द अदर साइड ऑफ द बॉर्डर व्हिच वी डोंट ट्रेड विद तो इंडिया में क्या होता है कि दिल्ली के आसपास सारे टियर 2 लोकेशंस हैं और
aggression culture
वो तो है ही सर वो तो है ही वो तो है ही but the fact that you should, you know whole of UP actually takes to Delhi
so SaaS और product global product
गया
नहीं बनने वाले हैं यहाँ पे ये तो बना रहे data science और
वो तो rule करेंगे Delhi से ये also commerce led business ये also commerce led business
but if you look at the whole culture 10 years before like the companies used to distribute the stuff in Delhi and from here it would go to other places.
Absolutely.
Like for example, my father has a small shop in Bhagirath Place, which used to be like before GST, with GST things stabilized. But even if you have to send something to Kanpur, the companies will stock in Delhi. From Delhi, the Kanpur trader will come. And whether Kanpur, whether Lucknow, whether Jaipur, Delhi is the hub. Obviously, in the last 4-5 years with GST coming in and with more smoother transportation, logistics and everything.
And no other metro in India actually has that. Even Mumbai still has Pune, Ahmedabad and Indore as well.
So that's a very interesting point. But do you, I know there used to be a question whether you can scale large tech teams in Delhi. Has that question been answered? Is it no longer a worry?
Data guys should go first.
I would say it's an advantage here.
Mm.
Because there are not many tech companies here. So whatever talent
sir hai samajh
lo yeah abhi bola na stanza hai tech company
at least for our size we have not faced a challenge yet
mm.
So we've been able to attract good talent and possibly I think we've been remote so
yeah.
Location doesn't matter
yeah
so apne ko to
actually Bangalore se zyada challenge aayega local like for example some people who have want to now say Kota Jodhpur Barmer पहुंच गए घर हॉन्गटाउन वापस नाउ दे आर हैविंग अ दिल्ली सैलरी एंड दे आर सेटिंग एट बाड़मेर व्हिच इज लाइक एट 1/4 ऑफ द दिल्ली कॉस्ट नाउ एंड अब उनको वापस आप कैसे लाओ बिकॉज नाउ दे हैव एक्सेस टू लाइक अ जॉब इन बैंगलोर सो आई डोंट थिंक सो बैंगलोर इज अ कॉम्पिटिशन द कॉम्पिटिशन वुड बी मोर अराउंड दैट गाय सेटिंग देयर कैन वर्क एनीवेयर
But actually on our note earlier about remote working and I know Kunal Shah put this tweet out as a violent agreement. I think that guy should not be sitting in Barmer. He's doing himself a disservice. It may look good for the next 12 months but long term, Barmer karna hai if you're in your 40s and you're doing that but this is the time to learn.
No, I understand but it is.
No, I know what you're saying.
People are switching jobs every 6-9
yeah,
months.
Yeah, yeah.
Like with an assumption, okay. 20 lakh guy becomes like a 60 lakh guy in 18 months.
Yeah.
Maybe less than that.
Yeah.
But like when the bust happens, would he be able to justify that? That's the question.
Yeah.
Finally, there is a skill set, and Indian market can pay only salaries for Indian market.
Yeah.
Unless you are building a global business, how would you keep affording those kind of people? You will not.
Just one thing to add to the Delhi versus Bangalore question, and you know, Ashish made a point around, you know, from a wholesale commerce lens, from a consumer business lens. Yeah, this is really slightly contrarian view. So 70% of our business happens in Bangalore, Chennai, Hyderabad, and we are based in Delhi. Wow. Which by the way means all my competition is based in Bangalore. So we are an exceptionally based in Delhi at this point of time. I feel because we are not based in Bangalore, we are much sharper in terms of how we think about GTM than anybody today who's based in Bangalore. But then Bangalore is such a big market that they're like, "Toh yahi toh hai sab kuch." So there's no GTM thinking at all. I think when you're sitting in Delhi and trying to plan a strategy for a launch in Cochin or Chennai or whatever, you just think a lot more because suddenly you're like sitting in Delhi and trying to figure out a solution for Cochin. You just are sharper in your thinking around that. And I just think that puts us an advantage. Versus somebody who's sitting in Bangalore has, you know, got to a particular skill and suddenly humko Delhi jana. He's never thought about GTM at all. Because Bangalore mein itne logo kar raha tha to begin with. And suddenly that business becomes very, very Bangalore heavy.
Yeah. And it could also become like an easy GTM to a tougher GTM market transition.
Yeah.
Like if you look at a lot of these towns, you know, like all these companies have found it hard to come to Delhi.
Yeah.
Like Bangalore, obviously there is scale, they will claim, like some people will claim. But companies like Telzo, etc., like significant part of their business come from Southern India.
Yeah.
And Northern India is slightly different. So if you crack Northern India, I think you can go to Southern India, I don't think so. Because that's relatively more easy to adopt.
Historically, North Indians have ruled South Indians. Yeah,
I was just going to say, abhi Ashish bolega, dekho, jab temperance bhi aate the, upar se aate the, niche se upar kabhi nahi jaate the, but wahan pe ocean bhi hai. But I think it's interesting. I think from my vantage point, there used to be a question that used to get asked that I believe will not get asked again. Which used to be to the Delhi founders, up back, tech kaise banaoge, Bangalore kaise banaoge. And some of it is COVID, because I think everybody's become comfortable. I used to, when entrepreneurs used to ask me, my office kholo, I used to say no. Ek dusri city mein mat kholo, culture nahi aata. Now it's like, you don't even think about that. But it's also, I can see the confidence, the security has built ki hum yahan banayenge, right? And it's almost like somebody from Delhi doesn't want to go to Bangalore and Bangalore doesn't want to come to Delhi, and it's great. It's great for the country if you ask.
Having said that, Avnish, I would say that tech talent, Bangalore still is head and shoulders.
No, but it is. For sure. But the question then is tech ultimately, whether whatever be our opinions, is tech, the high tech, going to turn out to be the way Chirag is saying, which is, you'll be remote, people will be anywhere. I know who was telling me the other day that they have one engine, maybe it was you, who was saying that they have one person in Estonia and one person in Russia.
Has to be. just exploring that option.
So, who knows. Okay, on to some fun stuff. And I don't know how many real answers we'll get, but we'll try. So, rapid fire round as usual. So, which is the unicorn most likely to go bust?
Just too controversial a question.
Anybody's going to hazard a guess?
Anybody who's burning a lot and actually became a unicorn globally. If these two things are true, I would say.
And I think we are all optimistic people, so I agree with you. Let's not name it people, but I think that's the right way to say it. If you became a unicorn by raising a lot of capital.
And you're still burning a lot.
then that's probably the answer. Okay, this is easy. Next, Decathlon.
Sitting in front of all this?
No way. There may be others.
I think my answer to that would be anybody who Tiger likes.
Yes, I think you can't become a decacon on the back of this capital. I think you have to have a real business. My view is it's going to be much more haunted. I also believe this one, hopefully the closest. But you know, and the other good thing in that, Andy, is beyond a point, now the feet are going to be held to the fire
of the public markets.
Yeah.
And that is the best thing that could have happened.
Yeah.
Kamraj to Dipinder, what he's created. Valuations may go up and down. But beyond a point, only real businesses will be there. Right? So, Decacon bana ke agar aap public nahi jaate to kya fayda?
Yeah.
So, but Ashish, we are rooting for you.
Thank you.
India digital market cap in 2030.
India is a crude year.
Kaun si apni
country 2x of what it is today, 25% year on year.
No, so we have a 2.5
million
dollar
economy.
India is
2.4.
So I think probably India will become like a 6 to 7, and typically I think 1.5 to 2 trillion books should be
distributed. Yeah, 30%.
I'll say 10x in 10 years, 25% here.
Or 26%. I actually believe, Ashish, what you were saying earlier, I think we'll be surprised on the upside.
Yeah.
I think it would, your COVID, import substitution, some policy moves by the government on manufacturing.
Yeah.
I think this will all come together, and the maybe the distinction between a digital business and a non-digital business, which, you know, I was asking you how you were a tech business, I think nobody will ask that question.
I was reading in some journal that the fastest 10-year growth that a country has ever had was 10x in 10 years, which is almost triple of your current growth rate, and four countries have gone through it. Okay.
10x at the GDP level.
10x at, you know, you take a, you know, index or whatever, right? And it was typically around manufacturing. So I think if we can get there, if we can be the fifth country, it will be a big deal.
You said 2.5 trillion to 25 trillion.
No, वो तो GDP हो गया ना. और manufacturing में तो general was specifically about manufacturing.
So which for each? Sorry.
No, I'm just saying like for country of our size, I think there are only two job creation themes. One is manufacturing and second is tourism.
Services.
Tourism, not even services. Tourism.
No, IT, ITS, BPO, you know.
Yeah, इसमें means you require certain level of skill set. So they will absorb only till a certain skill set. बाकी का स्किल सेट अब्सॉर्बिंग होगा
बट टूरिज्म इज गोइंग डाउन एंड देन विल गो बैक अप राइट
सो टूरिज्म इज वन ऑफ दोस थिंग्स व्हिच ड्राइव्स अ लॉट ऑफ थिंग्स लाइक फॉर एग्जांपल इफ यू गो एंड स्पेंड टाइम इन जयपुर आई एम जस्ट गिविंग एन एग्जांपल टू डेज यू विल बी स्टेइंग इन अ होटल यू विल बी ईटिंग इन अ रेस्टोरेंट यू विल बी गोइंग टू अ शॉप
मल्टीप्लायर
सो लाइक लाइक यू विल लाइक अ गाइड डजंट रिक्वायर एनी एजुकेशन बट ही कैन मेक से 500,000 रुपीस पर डे एंड इफ ही इज एम्प्लॉयड से 30 डेज अ मंथ बिकॉज़ टूरिस्ट आर कंटीन्यूअसली कमिंग ही इज टेकिंग ऑन 30,000-40,000 रुपीस अ मंथ व्हिच इज वेरी गुड.
Yeah.
So, and so my tourism is one thing which is going to help across the whole strata. You don't need very, very skilled people for that. Obviously, some people will be skilled, like, but if a hotel functions, if a restaurant functions, if a shop functions, like the people who are working there, people who are delivering services to these guys, everything will go up. So, and manufacturing, obviously, is actually rather more than manufacturing, tourism is something which is going to deliver jobs. Because even in manufacturing, we have started talking about robots and everything. I went to a factory called Asia One in China, which is the JD's warehouse. That was like 2016 or 17. And there used to be like 70,000 guys picking, sorting. That's like, that used to deliver like a million orders a day. That time, India whole in internet was delivering a million. That was only one warehouse for one company. And they said these 70,000 people will get replaced, will become 350 people in next 3 years because of robots. So if manufacturing jobs are again taken by robot, how do you create jobs?
Yeah,
so interesting. So I think that part is going to be a bit tricky.
Okay, rapid fire, the sector that you're most excited by and the sector that you think is the most overhyped. If you look out 5 years, something that will create a lot of value, and something that you think is overhyped and may destroy value.
Overhyped is effective.
But isn't it as COVID as they come? Like, you don't you need
education? COVID will go away. I think my sense is that education is the most contact sport and it will come back to its neutral equilibrium. Right now it's in a non-state equilibrium, so it's going to come back.
Interesting.
I think overhyped, I completely agree at tech. And I spent a lot of time with, you know, university admins, you know, chancellor, etc., etc. It's they are struggling, and there is no focus on learning outcomes. I think once people realize that, I think a lot of what you're seeing will go away.
It is the same. Like if I look at my kid, my daughter is in third standard. I don't think she has learned anything in the last 18 months. Like 2 hours of sitting in front of laptop, and half the time she will open YouTube and Harry Potter at the same time.
That speaks volume of what you taught us.
No, but actually, even before the nationalization of EdTech happened in China, companies were valued highly, but they were struggling with the churn. I think it was a big challenge. What about promising, exciting sectors?
For me, I think that's core tech. So companies like Postman. So they only.
Oh, did you say any?
Yeah. As long as you know, we'll be able to. People will be able to work for these companies headquartered in Delhi, so we will work globally. Well, these companies will be global. So API infrastructure companies like Twilio, all of these are underappreciated companies. I think when they achieve a certain scale, then only you know people realize that what kind of you know backbone infrastructure they built out, which you know you can't develop. That's one sector I think probably underappreciated in our country.
I think. Personal mobility is in, shared mobility is out, and even the guys who have built big shared mobility companies in India have started looking at building personal mobility stuff.
Why are you looking at me?
And I would say core tech with an IoT layer to it is something that I don't think people spend. I think India has not done anything on that front. People who are willing to spend time on building the data sciences layer on an IoT ecosystem, which will truly kind of become omnipresent. I think that's one.
And my two cents there is in health. I would also say in health, I think there is so much that can be done. Haven't figured out exactly how to what will happen, but Ashish.
Sector that we are in.
We need to explore career.
Underappreciated. Yeah. I think intermediary economies in India have largely been fragmented. Whereas if you look at developed countries, you always have consolidation of because of a big macroeconomic trend. We are seeing that in India. We are at the beginning of it.
Super guys, really, really appreciate all the time and hopefully. Well, the last question is,
don't
which is the best VC outside of Matrix, but that's not a real question. But parting thoughts and advice to somebody starting up?
Be yourself. Don't change. You will always land in a sweet spot.
Yeah, other way to say it is the market tailwind. I mean, this is, the next decade is probably the best they are ever going to have it, right? So don't even think twice and jump in. Even if you won't fail, you'll regret it.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's a great time to be an entrepreneur. It's a great time to believe in the in what you're building. I think we tend to get straitjacketed into A, B, C types by people outside. But as an entrepreneur, if you know what you're building, just focus on it for it.
So I think not even being an entrepreneur, even if you work for directly for an entrepreneur, I think it's a great time. Because earlier, like for example, you have to have a certain pedigree, age, experience to work directly with an entrepreneur. Today, if you are smart enough, there are enough people, enough entrepreneurs who would just straight away like to work with you. Like for example, there are positions getting created like chief of staff, etc., where people with 2, 3, 4 years of experience are working directly, and that's an amazing way to learn. And my another thing is like you should maximize your probability of success. Don't directly jump in. You will not even realize that when you are 3, 4, 5 years got sucked in. Time is valuable, and picking right segment is even more important.
So let me just add something to that. We have this concept internally of a experienced founder profile. And all of you in various ways is fitted, but Amit would have fitted it, all of you fitted, like I said. And the difference, when I came back and started, Bazi was just, copy, paste, model, whatever, right? And what we observe is this point of being very deliberate, thinking through both the market, the profit pool in the market, the GTM, somewhere in the discussion, the GTM had come out. And by the way, a lot of thought around the org and the org building. And you watch this set of founders versus the go fearless, change the world, both of which have a role. Frankly, without one, the other cannot survive. But what you find with this is that then when it starts hitting, it starts compounding very fast because things have been kind of, it's a little bit opposite of run fast and break things.
right? It is actually, you know, maybe I don't know how to put it, but go a little bit more deliberately and slow, and you don't need to break things, and yet, and I think that's your point that you will. And I'll just add to that and then turn it over to you, Ashish, for closing thoughts. This is the time. I think if in the next decade, if you are in digital India, or if you want to enter digital India, and if you're not doing it now, you're going to miss out. Right? Now, maybe you get experience for 1, 2, 3 years, but this is the time.
No, I'll put it in somewhere. I read it somewhere, it just struck with me. It said, taste the new age India, first as a consumer. Second as a lender, third as an investor, fourth as an employee, and if you're lucky, fifth as an entrepreneur. So, yeah, if
super.
You can taste it at these levels, you'll be married.
Great, great note to end it on. Thank you guys, really, really appreciate it, and onwards.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/blog. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.